All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. We are ready to go for the next 3 hours as we take you from 1 until 4 o'clock, hopefully entertaining you in the middle of your workday or otherwise, as maybe you're lucky enough to start the weekend early. But Nick is here in studio with me, Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas, drinking milk and having fun. What's up, fellas?
What's up, dude?
What up, man? What's going on?
All good in the neighborhood. Laminack, president, accounted for.
Yes,
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound like you just woke up.
No, I've been up since like 12:30.
Okay, you know.
No, I admit I wasn't up at 5:30 like yesterday.
I knew yesterday was a fluke.
Well, I probably didn't go to bed till like 2:30 in the morning.
So the shipment arrived or delivered?
Oh, I was going to say, let's just say I don't have glaucoma.
Yep.
But we hung out, man, a bunch of comedians, one of the MC and the headliner and one of the local comics. We all just came back to the condo and hung out and, yeah, cured my glaucoma. No more gout or whatever it is.
Yeah,
had a fun
good.
Night. Dude, well, last night's show was crazy.
Dude, I saw your tweet. Great crowd.
Sold out on a Thursday? That in 6 years, I've never seen a sold-out show on a Thursday. It was absolutely great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was the good part. The bad part is it was 168 of 250 that were college kids. They were all from a medical school, and this was like their orientation fun activity to kind of get, you know, get to. So at first, I was like, oh, this is going to be awful. It's just going to be screaming and heckling. And they were all very well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is I'm glad I don't do colleges because that's not my crowd. Like, yo, I'm 45, dude. I talk about grown folks stuff. And they laughed. I mean, I did all right. But I was just like, God, I can't do colleges.
It's so funny. It's so funny that you mentioned that because I was actually watching a Joe Rogan podcast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how colleges pay, but he hates doing colleges because they just don't know anything. And they're so much older, and there's such a big discrepancy in age that it doesn't make sense. The money's good, he says, because colleges pay, but he hates doing colleges or that age group.
Oh, absolutely. It's there. I mean, we talk about the political correctness of today's climate and how you have to be very careful of what you say. And that's already true when you're doing a regular gig. But when you do a college, they're so PC. They're so sensitive. They're so, like, you can't.
Are they really?
Like, oh,
yeah.
Dude.
Millennials, dude.
I mean, I could see the university enforcing that. But the audience in general, though, they've got to grasp on life a little bit, don't they?
Ask any comic that does colleges, and they'll tell you it's great money, but it's awful. To like, it's not material that you think you can necessarily count on the stage at a regular club until you do it because they're so sensitive, dude. It's not a joke. Like these, they're young. They, like you said, Nick, they don't know a lot, but they just get upset over the smallest little thing. They're just they clam up and then they shut down. And yeah, like I do this joke, and I think I've said it on the show before. Where I talk about watching TV, and I was watching a show on deaf people, and I had this thought: I wonder if deaf people sound deaf when they think to themselves. Pretty harmless joke. It's not attacking anything. It's just an observation. Oh my God, you would have thought I screamed out the N-word or something. They were not having it. I was like, wow. In my mind, I'm going, y'all are bitches. That's goodness gracious.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't bomb. I mean, it was, you know, if I gave myself a rating on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 5 or a 6. It was average. You know, okay. I'm the Texans. I went 9-7 last night.
Yeah, I saw you
night.
Getting into some debates on that
yeah.
on Twitter.
We'll get to that. But Jeez. Then. The crazy thing was is there were a few club regulars there, right? So the kids were obviously the majority of the crowd. So without them, we'd have still had 50 or 60, which isn't bad. And, you know, all these college kids, and I will admit, there was a lot of talent in the crowd, to be sure. 'Cause, And I almost said this on stage, and I wish I would have, but it's, you know, it's 170 med students, and half of them are female, and I wanted to be like, wow, so that means like a third of y'all are strippers, because most strippers are working their way through med school. And I didn't say it, but there was a lot of talent. But afterwards, literally, like, everyone's gone, right? Mm-hmm. And this blonde lady, like an adult, like I mean, she was probably 45, 50 years old, something like that, maybe a little older.
So Tracy Cowley range.
You are so damned when she sees you at the party. You are going to be – she's going to murder your face.
I owe her so many, I had to get one in.
She's going to murder your face. So she has these two other – like I think it's her daughters. I have no idea. But, you know, I do this joke where I start off, like, my first couple minutes, I just talk about smoking weed, and I'm a new weed smoker and this and that. And that's, like, right from the get-go. Then I do my whole other 28 minutes of jokes, and then there's a 45-minute set from the headliner that everybody leaves. She comes up to me with these two kids, and she was like, hey, how's it going? I was like, hey, what's up, man? Did you guys have a good time? She's like, yeah. She goes, so, you want to go smoke a bowl? I was like, what? That was very random, ma'am. And she was like, yeah, you know, I was waiting for you to kind of bring it up with all them college kids. I was waiting for you to say something like, where are my cougars at? And I was going to be like, right here, baby. I was like, what is going on right now? I was like, you know, I mean, I tried to be nice. I was like, oh, you don't look like a cougar. But I wanted to say, like, you look like you were attacked by and mauled by a cougar.
I was going to say no code words like oil changes and doorbells, just right to the good stuff.
But I was like, I knew as soon as she was like, you want to smoke a bowl? I was like, I'm not going home with you, Grandma. I'm not. It's not happening, Gigi. It's not going. And then I'm like, you got your daughters with you, and they're getting high. They don't even look 18. I was like, well, welcome to Little Rock. This
That's
is
right.
wild. Well, so it was awkward, and I was just like, well, ladies, good night. I'm going to go put my stuff up in the club now. I was just, you know, I never know how to get out of those weird conversations after a show. That's why I love the people that just walk by and go, hey, you were hilarious. Can I buy your shirt? I'm going to take a card. I'm going to follow you on Instagram, shake your hand, give you a fist bump, and leave. That's easy transaction for everybody. But
who is constantly talking both with comedy and on the radio in any awkward conversation?
Oh, you'd be surprised, dude. It's not usually me that makes it awkward, although I can screw up a conversation and make it really weird.
I know.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
But a lot of times, like, it's like, so she did that, right? She's like, you want to smoke a bowl? I was like, no, ma'am. And then, you know, she's like, I was waiting for you to point out cougars. And I was, you know, and then after she did that, I was like, oh, yeah, that would have been funny. And then nothing was said. And I'm just standing there.
Wow.
And she's like, so I was like, oh God, I know where this is going, and I'm not having sex with you and your daughters. I'm not doing that. We just stood there looking at each other for a minute, and I was like, well, guess I'm gonna go inside now. And it's just, I don't know, man. People like they have this initial rush of, ooh, I want to talk to you. And then once you're like, yeah, cool, then they're like out of stuff within the first 30 seconds. And they don't know how to exit. That's always a weird thing, man. When you're having this conversation, like, publicly, and finding an out is always a weird – well, not always, but can be a weird thing sometimes. So I've learned to be like, hey, well, listen, man, thank you all for coming. I got to go inside. I'll just make something up.
Right.
I'm just like, I got to go, you know.
But sometimes people don't understand that you're trying to end the – like, you, that sounds like the end of a conversation. And then someone will – inevitably bring something back up. It's like that dude, your friend that you're trying to get rid of over the phone. Like, bro, I said I got to go like 5 minutes
yep.
ago.
Yep.
It's true. You're like, hey, I got to go inside and fold up shirts. Oh, yeah. What kind of cotton is in them shirts? Is that Egyptian cotton or what?
I hate that, dude.
Yeah, I'm with you.
No doubt but about it.
Otherwise, it was cool. Good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Nick, do anything fun?
Did not. Just played some more video games.
Still in the show? MLB?
Not the show. The other one, RBI 2019.
You winning any games?
Not really.
That's
no.
what I thought. Okay. Well, I was sticking to the workout thing, and Nick was laughing because I got a deal going now with a guy I play basketball with where it's like for motivation. I'm texting him like, where are you at? I'm going to do this because I've been less than motivated, as you guys know, for the last year. But the last week and a half, I've been doing really well. So I get on the treadmill last night. I knock out 5 miles. I'm on there for like 45 minutes, feel really good. Sweating like crazy. Taylor walks by. I go, hey, Taylor, go downstairs and get my phone. Because part of the deal is, like, as proof, you got to take a picture of the screen at the end of doing whatever workout you did on the treadmill and then text it to the guy to, like, basically say, okay, I got mine done. and it's really helped. So mine's like 45 minutes, 5 miles, you know, burnt like 760-some calories, feeling great. Instead of Taylor bringing my phone, Lisa brings the phone. And then she starts shaking her head and giving you that face like, and I'm like, what is that? And she goes, really? I mean, you might as well have just run downhill. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I mean, look at it. I mean, for a treadmill like that, a Nordic track, which I used to run uphill, you look like you're running downhill. I go, I reset and recalibrated it. The damn thing says I'm running on an even, whatever it is, 0%. So I'm running on a flat surface. Don't give me that. I go, why do you want to crap on my parade? I just did a really good work. I feel good about myself, and you want to belittle me. And she's like, well, I'm just saying, if you really wanted to be good, you could do that same workout going uphill. I'm like, and you can kiss all of my ass, too. That's terrible.
Hey, I don't want to take Lisa's side on this because you know I have your back.
Mm-hmm.
But
but what?
I did read somewhere that if you're – instead of running on the streets, if you run on a treadmill, you have to set the incline to at least 1 or 1.5 to give you the same kind of resistance you get on the streets, because the belt is helping. So when you're on a treadmill, that belt makes it a little easier. So if you add a slight incline, it's the equivalent of running on a street without the belt.
But if you go if you're going faster, because if there's any kind of change in the grade that helps you, you're going faster, and then I'm increasing the RPM deal. So I'm getting more cardio either way.
It just means you're running faster, easier.
Well, you guys can run faster, as fast as you both want to, and kiss both of my ass cheeks, because the last time I did this, I had it on 3.5 incline. So
that's it?
Okay.
Now I know how to aggravate you. I ran a mile. No, you didn't.
No, you ran.
You ran a quarter of a mile. You did a 0.8 miles, which
Barry,
you did.
If you could see the face I'm making right now.
I'm going to go to Twitch and see you smack your lips.
Shaking my head. I'm like. All y'all can just, oh, my God.
Look, your wife has high standards about running. She's a runner.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to have to match the intensity, bro.
No, she can just match my, you can just find a new hobby. Pregnant ladies, you're walking right now, honey. You don't need to be telling me of what I'm running. Okay. Now, we're just getting started on an FEF Friday. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number or text that number. You can reach us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. At the producer, Nick. Barry's got a comedian of the week. He's going to tell you all about it after the break, unless you want to do it now, Barry.
Hey, I can do it right now. It's Chingo Bling. We've had Chingo on before. Chingo's my guy. He's been in studio. But he's at the Houston Improv this week, and I thought, what better time to bring back somebody than this week? He's selling out shows, so if you want to get tickets, you better get on it. He had to add 2 more shows because they're selling out so fast. He's on tour. He's got his Latino AF tour going right now. He's got his Netflix special, They Can't Deport Us All. Funny dude, a Houston OG and a Houston legend.
Where is he performing this weekend?
He's at the Houston Improv. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have some clips from him, and all you got to do is hit up improvtx.com for tickets.
There you go. So Chingo Bling's clips coming up next, the first of three, and we'll continue with much more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We got any Mexicans in house? Raza? Any Mexicans in house? Y'all been to Mexico lately? Okay. A couple, huh? A couple of y'all? Hey, that shit always happens, right? I'm always like, we're the Mexicans. They're like, yeah, they can't deport us all. We're here. And then I say, have y'all gone? Pues. No, it's scary. Right now, I'm the household breadwinner. I can't get kidnapped. The travel advisory has issued a statement.
There you go. Chingo Bling, comedian of the week in town this weekend at the Improv, as Barry says. So check him out. He is a local. He is a friend of the show. And we like to, as you know, support those who support us and who are from H-Town. So there you have that.
Yeah, OG in the H-Town rap scene and beyond. I mean, really, Chingo went national. That's why he's touring. He's selling out shows all over the country. And got that Netflix special you got to check out. And right here in the Houston Improv, this is a big deal for him.
I have the Netflix He has the Netflix.
All right.
Okay, see. I've got the chins, and he's got, you know. So leave I almost made it Netflix to me.
I almost made a chin joke when you were talking about how many calories you burned, but I did not.
Dude, look, let me just tell
you
something.
I was proud of myself.
Lisa even said to me, too, she's like the other day, she goes, I know how much you work out, period. But she goes, I tell you what, no matter how much you lose weight and get and do all these different things, she goes, you're not going to get rid of that. That's a genetic thing with your neck. You should get it taken care of. I go, I am not pulling a Fred on my neck. I'm just not doing it. I am not going to have my neck reworked just because people have an issue with what the, you know, I'm like, I've dealt with it my whole life. I'll deal with it for the rest of my life.
What if, Joel, what if they could take the fat from your neck and put it in your penis? Would you do that?
I'm past that point, man. Two kids in.
You're like, it don't matter anymore.
Married for almost 5 years. I'm good. I've achieved all that I need to achieve with the length and everything that I have.
If Lisa leaves you, you'll consider it, though, right?
No. I will not.
Look, listen, let me tell you right now. If Nora leaves me, first thing I'm doing is I'm eating like 19 gallons of ice cream and building up my neck fat so I can go out and get an extension. All right?
I mean, you just, you got what you got. I mean, I could walk down the street and go, hey, baby, you want to see my hammer? I got a hammer swinging right here.
That's right. No. When they're like, what is that? It's like, this is how Jesus made me, okay? I can't help it.
That's right.
Speaking of that, somebody texted the show and said, Lisa's being Gabrielle Union on Joel. You seen that commercial, right, where she's competing with Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
Is she like that, where she makes it competitive?
Oh, yeah. She makes everything competitive workout-wise,
so,
yep.
So let me ask you this. Who would win in a race, you or her?
Speed race, I'd win. Distance race, she wins hands down.
So, okay, so you said you ran 5 miles, right?
Yep.
Who's winning a five-mile race, you or her?
She is. Dude, she not only – she's only
– let her. You let your wife beat you in racing?
I don't need to let her win anything. She
no,
would
I'm
win
not saying
that.
I'm saying let as in not like, oh, I let her win. I'm saying like you let your wife win. Like you can't outrun
Bro,
your wife.
We've never done the actual race before, but any person – woman, man or woman, that's run 16 marathons, including, because it's one thing to just say run a marathon, because we see a lot of these people that like run, walk, and then as long as they finish.
And they won't
they
do another marathon for like another 2 years.
She's run
Boston. Hey,
she's
you guys
run
are literally
Boston.
Talking about me.
She's run Boston and run it like as one of the better finishers, and you have to run at a certain time to get into Boston, to qualify. She qualifies for Boston, she runs Boston, and then she runs it at a time that is very, very competitive. That's when you know that she's...
Do we
really
know how many runners are at the Boston Marathon? Like,
look it up.
I mean, it's an incredible number, I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, and it's a major accomplishment just to qualify for Boston, but then you go and you finish in the top, I don't know, 100 or whatever, for her age group, whatever it is. But, yeah, she's pretty spectacular as a marathoner.
Yeah, that's great, but a marathon is 26 miles. 5 miles isn't a marathon. You should be able to outrun Lisa in 5 miles.
Okay,
especially
Bambi,
since you run
so
5 miles all the time. I feel like if I ran as much as you did, I would be able, I know I can beat Nora. That's easy, because I'll just trip
Nora
her, too, off
marathons?
The line.
Well, then somebody you should
be like, ready?
Beat Nora.
Somebody be like, ready, set, go. I'd trip her and then be like, what happened? And, you know, I don't mind. I'll push her down in the middle of the race. I'm whatever. But, yeah, I feel like I could outrun my wife. That's got to be a goal. That's like I feel like every man should be able to outrun his wife unless you're married to Lolo Jones or something like that.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I mean.
if your wife is a U.S. Olympic sprinter.
I can out-sprint her, but
I'll let you
in
off
a marathon,
hook.
I'm not going to beat her. And in a five-mile run, I'm probably not going to beat her. I've run 10
okay.
Ks with her. In
3 miles. Can you beat her in 3 miles?
No.
2 miles.
Dude, she is.
1 mile. Final offer. 1 mile. Can you beat Lisa in a one-mile race?
I could try.
Damn it, Joel.
Dude, you have
just
no
say
idea.
Yes, no one's going
to
validate
here's
it.
Here's the thing, and I've said this before, and I don't think it's registered with you guys. When we go to the Met when she doesn't have baby on board, when we go to the Met and I play basketball for 2.5-3 hours with the guys, and while we get ready to start playing, and of course everybody's talking, putting their shoes on, whatever, she gets on a treadmill. When we get done 2.5 hours later, she's still on the same treadmill running at a very fast pace, and that's when you know she has a talent that I don't think that I have. And I don't have the motivation to stay on a treadmill like that for that long.
I
know you do. I know you do. And this is what drives you some days. And today's not the day to drive. I'm just letting you know.
Are you in a bad mood today?
A little bit.
Oh, that's perfect. That's the exact thing.
I probably shouldn't have told you that, but
no.
It's absolutely the case.
No, you definitely should have. But I know it can put you in a good mood, Joel.
What's that?
If you were getting cash back on your fill-ups and your food. Right? Am I right, Joseph?
No.
Yes, I am. Guys, if you're not using GetUpside, you need to absolutely go download it right now. I'm using it. AJ uses it. Nick is using it. Nick's got his family using it. Aaron Raybould and his wife use it. They actually fight over who's going to fill up the car. Jake Asman just told me that he's using it. Everybody at the station is starting to use this. Listeners are starting to use this. You need to get on GetUpside right now. It's completely free to download, put on your phone, and there's no fees, no tricks, none of that. It's just you getting cash back for fill-ups and you getting cash back for food. As long as you're doing it through the app, you can actually get cash back. Now, picture this scenario, all right? Jose is a listener. He put it on his phone, and he sent me a text, and he said, hey, dude, I used GetUpside the first time. I got $8 back. If someone walked up to you while you were pumping gas and said, hey, man, here's $8 back for your purchase, would you take it? Absolutely you would, and that's why you use GetUpside, because they get you that cash back. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon every fill-up, up to 25 cents a gallon. You eat out, if you do it through the GetUpside app, you can get up to 35% cash back every single time. It's that simple. We have listeners that have over $400 in their account. Why are you leaving money at the pump? Why are you leaving money at the table? I don't know why, but you're silly if you're doing that. So don't be silly. Go download GetUpside right now. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F. Yeah, Friday. Chingo Blink, comedian of the week. If you missed his first clip, got two more coming up, 215, 315. Barry gave you a backstory there. Barry in Arkansas, Nick and I here in studio. Is it hot there, Barry?
Actually, no, it's raining, and it's kind of cool. I went for a run. I ran 3 miles yesterday. I was like 85, 88.
No,
there was a lot of hills. I was dying. I thought I was going to have to stop, and I hate stopping and walking when I go running. But the hills are so bad here, I almost had to because it's crazy. Normally, I'll run 9.5-minute miles right now because I'm just now getting back to it. Mm-hmm. I was running 11.5-minute miles yesterday. That's how tough the hills are.
Okay, Pokemon. So here, record heat back. Without a 100-degree day, that was stopped this week. Now, for the next 3 to 4 days, they're expecting 100-plus. The reason I bring that up, there's a company now that will come to your house if you have a pool or otherwise, but especially if you have a pool. And for $200 to $400, they will deliver a half ton of ice and dump it in your pool.
What? This is a business?
This is a business. Their business is, you know, for block ice and crushed ice, for snow cone machines and everything else. And they thought to capitalize on this heat wave, if you pay between $200 and $400, they'll come to your house and they will deliver a half a ton of ice. And if you want, they'll dump it in your pool.
So I don't own a pool yet. I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. You and Lisa do have a
pool,
correct?
We do have a pool, and it is not heated.
So does the weather like today in Houston where it's 100 degrees make the pool unusable?
No, not at all. Matter of fact.
Well, then what the hell would you need the ice for?
I guess people think, that's what I'm saying, because some people think, well, you still need to cool off. And I'm like, well, just turn your heater off and just, at least for us, if you just leave it during, you know, obviously we don't have the heater, so it's just natural conditions. Even with the sun beating down on it, it's actually refreshing. It's the right temperature. I have no problem with it. And the weird thing is, when we were in California, Lisa and her parent, or Lisa's parents in Palm Springs, where it's 114 every day.
Damn.
And yet when you get in the pool and they don't have a heater, it actually will give you some shrinkage in a hurry. I mean, there's some chill. Yeah, because at night in the desert air, it does get a little cooler. But like, I was like, ooh, baby, that's, you know, when we get in our pool, you just walk right in.
Well, now I do know that they make pool chillers that will actually chill the water in the pool. But I don't know if that is the same as, you know, the same effect as the dumping ice into it. But I imagine
a company trying to make some extra cake. Well,
yeah. That's kind of weird. I wonder how much, does it say how much it costs?
Yeah, I said $200 to $400 for a half ton of ice.
That's crazy.
And then the dude comes in with a trailer and they stack up all the, and he just comes in and he's like, with the, there's kids in the pool and he's like, hey, let me rip the top off of this bag and throw it in the water. I'm like, get out of here, man. It's not, we're not here to pay you to have fun. I just think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Nice.
Yeah. So I thought they'd throw that in there. So last night, did you watch any sports or anything? Did you watch the Texans at all?
I did not get – I mean, obviously, I checked out highlights and box scores and read articles, but I did not – obviously, with the show, I didn't get to watch the Texans. I don't think it would have been on here anyways in Little Rock. Probably, you know, maybe a Cowboys game or a national game. But I did see a tweet from John McClain, and I don't know if he was being serious or not, but it seemed as though he was upset that Bill O'Brien didn't play Deshaun Watson.
He had a lot of snarky tweets last night that I saw.
Was he just being sarcastic, or was he being serious, or do you even know? Because, look, there's no reason to run Deshaun Watson out there
absolutely
in week
not.
One and get him hurt. Wait till week three. Play him for a half. That's it. But why? I mean, you know he's your quarterback. There is no question here at that. This is not a position battle.
Glance across the field.
Did Aaron Rodgers play?
I was just going to say, glance across the field and see if 12 had a set of pads on last night.
Yeah,
not even
exactly.
Close.
Exactly. And when you have a quarterback that is your franchise quarterback, these are the decisions you make.
Look
so if
at
you
Kiki
were
Kuti
upset,
and go, should he have really been playing in the offense like that because he got hurt?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not a serious injury, though, right? They said he tweaked his ankle.
It looks like they dodged it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The bottom line is the replays look worse than the actual end effect. He went out and started tweeting after the game that he'd be good, and then they made him take – he took it down, and they said Bill O'Brien doesn't like that stuff. But every report is sprained ankle, and he should be back. But the minute he went down, I was like – first of all, I was like, oh, my God, not this guy. He's already had way too many injuries.
Right.
And then secondly, you look at – on both sides of the ball for both teams – almost any guy that could be an impact player in the regular season was not in the game last night. So I you didn't see Will Fuller. You didn't see D-Hop. Then I don't need to see. I know what Kuti can do, and the biggest thing has been him staying healthy. Maybe preseason game three he gets some good run, but I don't need to see him in week one of the preseason.
I'm with you. And, I mean, JJ didn't play, did he?
No.
Yeah, see? I don't know why he's saying that. You know what these stars are. This is about figuring out position battles. I hope that everybody that's considered might be considered a starter on the O-line played, because that would be important. But I heard it was just kind of a boring ass.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is preseason football. It's exciting to have them back, and I'm pumped about it. But
I also thought that the
I'm
biggest problem.
I'm kind of glad I missed it.
The Packers' first touchdown was because they put Kiki Kuti to return punts and kicks. And he tried to field one on the goal line, and it hit his shoulder pad and popped up, and the Packers got it for a touchdown. And I'm like, if I don't need to see him running routes, I certainly don't need to see him taking shots, fielding punts and kicks. It's just, to me, that's just asinine from a coaching staff perspective in going, hey, this is a guy that you know you're going to be counting on. You don't have a ton of depth in the receiving core right now. Why would you throw him out there on special teams and just invite someone to take his head off? You already know that everybody said during the week in the joint practices that Rodgers and everybody on both sides was saying we shouldn't be doing any special teams play, because guys that are going to try and make a name for themselves to earn a spot on the roster are going to be taking every chance they can to deliver the wood to someone that's, whether it's assuming or non-assuming, you can knock someone's block off, and that's not safe for anyone.
What was the first score of the Packers? Was that a muffed punt?
That's what I'm saying. It was Kuti trying to field it at the goal line. It hit off his shoulder pad, popped up in the air, and the Packers recovered it in the end zone.
Because I thought there was one on where the Texans were punting, but that's the one you were talking about.
Yeah.
There wasn't – okay. Great. So special teams is looking great. That's awesome.
Line didn't look, and I will say this. Give Joe Webb a whole lot of credit, because he played the entire game. And I'll say this, I don't care if A.J. McCarron's your second string quarterback, and he can be, but I will tell you this, Joe Webb, to me, earned a spot on this team because there were several times, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, where he scrambled and like a running back, and because he's a pretty solid guy, but he took some plays where that should have been well short of a first down, and he got them 4 more downs, and he extended drives, and I'm like, man, this dude right here, whether it's as a backup quarterback, special teams player, otherwise, he deserves to have a spot on the roster because he's tough. And, man, when he gets the ball in his hands, he can run.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically it.
I was going to say, I'm not putting a lot of stock in them losing or any of the box scores itself. Well, one thing I was curious about was, did Lonnie Johnson play? And if he
gave
did,
up a touchdown.
Happened?
He gave up he gave up one of the touchdowns in the second half to the Packers. And, again, exactly what the knock on him has been was coming to fruition. He doesn't have real quick hips. His turn wasn't real great. You know, for as much as he got all the attention for lowering the boom on two guys for the Packers in the joint workouts, you know, he's got work to do when he gets on the field as a member of the secondary, and he got exposed a little bit last night.
Huh. Well, so there's that. I was wondering if they were going to give him the business because of what happened, if maybe there would be a cheap shot somewhere along the way when he was on the field. But glad to see that cooler heads prevailed and everybody was at least professional about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those deals where, again, I also don't want to hear people, you know, overreact to anything that happened last night because it is the first week of training camp, I mean, of preseason games. Like I said, when you look at week 3 you want to evaluate more there, then I'll hear it. But for now, like, yeah, John McClain, as you said, he was as snarky gets all night last night. I mean, you know, from the sarcasm, at least I took it as such about Bill O'Brien, to, you know, just kind of like we've exceeded the record for the amount of yawns in the first quarter. Well, you know what? Then go get a job at a supermarket bagging groceries or doing something that's, you know, or changing tires at a car place, because you got a great cushy job. You just ate a massive meal in the press room. And the fact that you're going to count yawns in a preseason game when you should be real happy with the job you got, you need to slow down. I'm just saying.
That's funny.
There was a lot of people overreacting on Twitter last night to a very boring game. So
yeah, I saw one where we can get into it in the next segment, but a fan got upset apparently and was like, I don't know why everybody's hating on the Texans. And P. Randizzle tagged us like, anybody want to take this? Yeah, we can discuss
that.
Oh,
you took it.
It didn't take long. I don't know why people don't do their research. It's super easy. It's all the information's out there. Just got to look it up. Well, hey, they came out relatively healthy. QT, that's a bad sign when you're like, God, you got these two guys that you worry about injury, and only one of them plays, and of course he gets injured. You're just like, well, he is Will Fuller 2.0.
Yeah, and then you see him going off on a cart, and that made it even worse. Then all the speculation was running rampant. Then people were saying he shouldn't have been out there at all. Well, no, he shouldn't have been running back punts and kicks. And after the first series, if you were going to put him out there at all, then he should have been sitting on the bench. But let's not overreact. I mean, thank goodness it wasn't a serious injury. But, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is like I kind of, with that whole thing with the injury and him tweeting about it, as soon as you said that, you know, O'Brien hates it and he had to delete the tweet, immediately infuriated me. Of course, Bill O'Brien has to go out and tell players what they can and can't tweet. God, I'm so tired of the act, really.
It's just,
but we've talked about typical. It ad nauseum, yeah, but come on, really, man. Just let the guys tweet what the hell they want to tweet.
So we'll get to some other things football related. A lot of young rookie quarterbacks that played last night and actually played relatively well. So there's some things we can kick around. And a couple of great stories. For as boring as week one of the preseason can be, there were a couple stories to come out of games last night that were really, really special. We can get to those as well as we continue to roll on. It is the usual suspects on an FEF Friday. And hopefully you'll keep us tuned till 4, Blitz till 7, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to hour number one, 3-hour show, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be. in the big city, and you're outside of the big city, Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas. Barry, funny you should mention that about Lonnie Johnson. We were both tagged by Daniel Turnbow in a tweet that David Bakhtiari, who didn't play for the Packers, the all-pro left tackle, said, "Ooh, by the way, Lonnie Johnson, that catch over you for a touchdown by Alan Lazard was football. Hashtag, it's football." That's kind of a little dig at Mr. Practice Player.
That's not nice.
No, but I liked it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So any other thoughts, Texans-wise, before we turn the page? Duke Johnson supposed to be already in Houston and going through his physical today. Lamar Miller has commented on it and said, look, here's a guy that I looked up to. They both went to the University of Miami. He followed him and watched him when he was a running back at Miami. So Lamar Miller, excited to have him on the roster. So that's a good thing. So we'll see how he fits in with this offense and how they use him, as they've got now more than a week to prepare before the Lions are at NRG next Saturday night.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I want to see how they utilize him. But that begs the question too. You kind of know Duke Johnson is your backup, right?
I mean,
that's it.
Yep.
So how much do you really play him? Obviously, he needs to get to know the playbook, but you can do a lot of that in practice. I imagine he's going to see a couple of series, but
you don't want him hurt,
man,
but at the same time,
games worry me.
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, and look, I you don't want him hurt. So you do want to be careful. At the same time, it is a new situation, a new system, new personnel. So he does have to, you know, get involved and get comfortable with all of that. But look, overall, and I know that this is an ongoing debate, whether how many preseason games should you get and have and do you need, and then how many rolls over into regular season games. Look, the punishment that these guys take, you know, and I can't relate in having experienced it to that level, but what I can say is, from a fan perspective, you'd love to see two more games. You'd love to see, you know, a longer regular season schedule where there's more for just the football fan to watch on a weekend. But when you start factoring in and talking to some of these guys that have to endure what they have to endure for a full season, we just said, of the four preseason games, real frontline starters probably play a game and a half, if that. So you're not really exerting yourself like you are in a regular season NFL game. So sure, from our perspective, selfishly wanted to see as much regular season football as possible. You can say, I'd like to skip two preseason games, add two regular season games. But from a player's perspective, it's already so tough for them week to week to try and bounce back that it might be asking too much.
Yeah. There was a lot of good games last night, apparently. Not good games, but like you mentioned going to the break, a lot of good performances by young guys. I was particularly interested in the Cardinals-Chargers game and how Kyler Murray was going to play. And apparently, rave reviews on his performance.
No,
I watched a highlight video from the game, and man, he looked polished. I didn't see much of him running. There was a couple of check down passes, but a lot of him throwing the ball. Now, he obviously had to get out of the pocket a little bit and move because the protection would collapse. But apparently he played well, so that's good for them. And I don't feel – from the highlights that I saw – now, I didn't get to watch the game, obviously, but from the highlights that I saw, I didn't even feel like Kingsbury and that offense really highlighted and showcased what they could
do.
Smartly so. It was basic, vanilla, missionary position football.
That's what I was going to
say.
But
it looked good.
They want to keep the rest of the league off balance as long as possible to see how much – of the, you know, the high-powered, like you said, fast-paced Texas Tech-type offense they're actually going to run. But at the same time, the thing that impressed me the most in watching Kyler Murray is the throws that he made. I mean, whether he was standing and got a chance to set his feet or he was running, he was throwing across the field. He was throwing the long way on the field on out routes, and the throws were crisp. They were sharp. They were where they needed to be. They were right on the sidelines. He looks really good, and obviously only time will tell. And like you said, just as the offense was vanilla, the defenses probably were too. And that's where we got to see him read the defenses better. But just from an all-out quarterback perspective of making the runs and the passes and getting eluding pressure, he did. He looked, he was impressive.
Well, and the other thing that you the takeaway from that is, yeah, a lot of it was vanilla on both sides of the ball. And the one incompletion, the receiver stepped out of bounds.
Yep.
But the other thing, too, is you like seeing the patience of if he looks downfield. And even if the game is a little fast for him right now and he's maybe not going through his progressions like he should, at least he's making good decisions to find a check down receiver somewhere with a, you know, that's he's not taking chances. He's not risking anything. He's like, all right, this is a completion. I'm just going to go ahead and take what the defense gives me. So if you're a Cardinals fan after one series, you got to be, well, we made it through that. Because, look, there are a lot of guys that can go out there, and that even that moment is too big for them. So we'll see. We'll see how he does. It's not going to surprise me if Kyler Murray does well, because this is a new era of football where rookie quarterbacks are expected now to be good and not be like, oh, well, give him 3 years to develop. It's like you got to start being good now because so many good rookies have come out and done that.
Well, and you mentioned that, and Daniel Jones of the Giants, 5 for 5 in his one series, moved the team right down the field, got a touchdown. For all the people that were critical of him, it was interesting to see how quickly they changed their tune and were like, maybe this guy should start from week one. Again, it's only the first week of the preseason, but good for him, because in that media market of New York, and with all the heat that the Giants and Dave Gettleman have taken for taking him at with the 6th pick in the draft, he had to feel really, really good and get a weight off of his shoulders to come in for the first time in an NFL stadium against another NFL team and have no incompletions, run them down the field, get them a touchdown, and be able to breathe a little.
Yeah, I heard kind of similar things about Darnold in that game.
Darnold looked good too, yep.
Yeah, he looked good for his small performance. But again, you know, we could sit here and break down every game, and it's kind of our job to do that. And I'm sure people are out there going, okay, guys, it's just preseason football. We get it. But you still got to talk about it. You still got to, but long way to go for a lot of these kids. And they're going to make mistakes along the way. But, I mean, it's cool to see some of these young cats get off to good starts. Good for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, and the other thing is, too, getting back to, like, the QT situation, you're lucky you dodged a bullet, but from a coaching staff perspective, organizationally, you kind of got to learn a lesson from this too, so that hopefully you don't make the same mistakes. Because when you look at it, I mean, you look at a situation like Curse from the Lions. I mean, that's the worst case scenario. If you miss that, you know, you got a guy that used to play for the Seahawks that's going to be one of your better receivers that you bring in free agency in Jermaine Curse. And it really was a fluke. I mean, he's blocking on the outside, and a defensive back trying to make a tackle misses and then rolls on the ground and just rolls up into the side of his leg, and he breaks his leg, and he might have, you know, some ligament damage. They're looking at that, and you go, you know what? That's the worst case scenario when you're talking about, you know, early in preseason not having your best players on the field.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one right there. But other than that, Haskins from the Redskins didn't look so good. He had 2 picks, one for a return for a touchdown. But
see,
again,
that's,
it's early.
That's the thing. Like, we get excited about, hey, look at these young cats, and then you kind of try to temper it and be like, well, it's the first game. Well, you could also have the kind of game that Haskins had where they come out and lay an egg and crap all over the field and look bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I guess it goes both ways, so to speak.
Kind of like – never mind.
No.
Not good.
So, by the way, somebody texted and said, Barry, how does the Coleman milk taste? Did you grow 4 inches? You know what? I'm so mad because yesterday I went to the store and I forgot, like, water and I had to get some other stuff. Totally forgot to get Coleman milk. So now I got to go back to the store again and get some Coleman milk because I'm not leaving here without Coleman milk.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, because, you know, the fun police – capitalized on the fact that, you know, you're in Arkansas and the fact that, you know, someone had let them know that, you know, we mentioned Coleman milk and that you might be growing 4 inches. And just so you know, because I got your back. I mean, he was there to say, well, yeah, now you watch. Barry will take his Coleman milk and not only will he grow 4 inches, he'll come back and, like, land a Netflix special and all this other stuff. So, you know, he was out there doing what he does.
Again, I can't tell you how much I don't care if he talks about me like that.
I do.
That's just AJ. It don't bother me. That's just what he does. And I'm going to make fun of him plenty too. So it's okay. I get it.
And I'm going to reap the less than benefits of both of those things. So that's the way it goes around here. Before we go to the break, our friend Clarence wants to get in here on reducing preseason.
How y'all doing?
Clarence, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's going on with you?
Why does everybody got to do the
Clarence
voice?
That's so messed up.
It's the price we love you pay for being a suspect.
That's right. We love you, Clarence.
Yeah. So I was saying, all right, after watching a couple of games last night, which were the two that were on TV, it should show everyone exactly why we need all four games of preseason. No matter how much we hate it, no matter how much it sucks, it shows you how you need to work out all the kinks and watch these guys get better. Because doing two games like they want to do, how can you really evaluate talent on two games, especially with all the guys who are trying to make a team?
I can tell you how. I can tell you how. Two words: joint practices. Joint practices.
Well, your boy don't want joint practice.
I don't care what Aaron Rodgers whines about. From an overall team and franchise perspective, as long as you're competing against someone in another colored uniform for another franchise, and you can evaluate everything. Like I said, they were working on special teams this week with Packers and Texans. And just running offensive plays and things like that. I think it's much better than going up against your own teammates and then going out there and playing fluffy football for, you know, however many quarters they play it during the first two preseason games.
Well, how can you evaluate better? In joint practices or at real-time game speed with real-time game situations?
Barry, if you want to chime in. Look, I just think you create game-time situations in the practices. Just like a scrimmage in any sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a necessary evil to get out there. That's why game three of the preseason is so important, because it's starter versus starter for most of the game, and you get a sense of where your team's at. Mm-hmm. But the first two games is to figure out those depth positions, and then the last game is final cuts. So can you really make – from a joint practice, it's more controlled. It's not as game-like. I think there's got to be some sort of happy medium. Like, if they cut one preseason game, maybe have three. And that way the second one is the one where you kind of put it all together, and the third one is your cuts. I don't know. There's got to be a happy medium. But I just feel like four is too many, but two might not be enough.
Okay. I mean, here's the other thing I'll throw in, too. The season ticket holder shouldn't have to pay for those games. I mean,
not full price.
Yeah. I mean, you want to do a thing where at $5 everybody, and you just come in and free for all for seats and get there early and stay late and go ahead and see your team like they do for the practices. I think you'd have a much more engaged crowd, too, but you wouldn't have to gouge your season ticket holders to watch less than stellar football.
Absolutely.
All right, 1 hour in the books, 2 hours still to go, the big show. We continue to roll on right here on ESPN 97.5.